Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, friends. It's Wednesday.
Is it? I'm not sure I know what day of the week it is now.
It's Wednesday. How long can I stall before we get to this?
We can open with it.
Can I talk about my drive in this morning or the sun shining, listening to the Sunrise guys, Portland sports leader? You know, there's a Duck game this weekend. It's going to rain at the Coliseum. Kirk Ferentz is going to be at home, basically.
Yeah, I know. What's that all about?
Stall. All right, I got nothing.
No, you got nothing.
Hit me.
If you're watching on YouTube, I was wearing a hat, but because my forehead is bleeding and I have a white hat, I had to take it off. 10 minutes before we walk in here, I'm like, I'm going to run to the bathroom real quick. In the conference door, we got this fishbowl-like conference door or conference room. Very clean glass doors.
Very clean.
And so clean, in fact.
I think they're cleaned every single day.
Well, there's now a face print on one of them because I looked back to say something to one of you guys. I can't even remember who I was going to say something to and didn't realize one of the doors was open. And I walked into it so hard and at such full speed that my backwards hat smashed into my forehead so hard that I cut my forehead and I have the indentation of my hat on the right side of my forehead now.
I heard the dong from the glass halfway across the office. And I didn't think much of it. I was just kind of like, oh, what was that? Moving on. Then I went in and had a conversation with the Sunrise guys, talking to Andy. He's driving down to Eugene Friday for the pregame show. Mm. Just having a little conversation. Then I come out. And this idiot over here is just laughing hysterically and keeps telling people an extremely embarrassing moment for funsies.
I mean, it was funny, man. And the best part about this is we can 100% grab this off the video camera.
Off the security camera?
We can 100% grab it off the security camera.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, it's a full-on, like, looked in the conference room and I was like, oh, there's a bunch of stuff going on. What's going on over here? And then I looked over my shoulder to say something and I didn't eat, like, because that door's never open.
No, it is never open. I know we can get security footage there because remember the old sunglass gate from me?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I knew I could see who comes in the front door. Yeah.
But yeah, I obliterated that door like a, what is it? Are pigeons? Are they the ones that fly into the glass? All over
I think
New York?
A lot of birds fly
I know,
but
like
into
the
glass.
Like the ones that like historically do it in New York. I think it's the pigeons, right?
Well, there are a ton of pigeons in New York, so probability is high.
Yeah, but I obliterated that thing. There's a face print on that window, on that door now.
You ruined your hat. Is your hat ruined?
No, it's not. Thankfully, the blood only got on the plastic part. And I made sure to kind of, I didn't get all of it. Hold on. There's still a little blood there. But yeah, no, I've got a snapback on. I had it on backwards and the open snaps, there's two of them. You can tell that at least two of them were open because there's two dots on my forehead.
Dude, you got two dots and a line.
Yeah, the line is the top of it.
Oh, dude, it's the snapback.
Mm-hmm.
You literally have an indent of the two holes and the two lines on top
and
of a snapback.
And the top of the plastic.
Maybe you shouldn't wear snapbacks backwards.
Yeah, well, no.
I don't like the look of snapback backwards.
I don't care what
I'm just going to offer you that advice.
I'm just glad I don't have a goose egg on my forehead.
And my response was yet.
Yeah, I know. Thanks. It's not like I have to go on TV to do anything. God.
Get some makeup on aisle 9 over here.
I got it in the bag, thankfully. But yeah, I might need to go into the concussion protocol.
Yeah, you and Jackson Dart just hang out for a little bit.
Good gravy, man.
I can't imagine. I've heard this happened, what, 20 minutes ago? I've heard this story 4 times now. I can't believe. Kudos to you for being, like, positive about it.
Well, I mean, what am I going to do otherwise?
I don't know. Not tell anybody. have some pride.
I mean, hey, so it looks like somebody hit you upside the head with a waffle iron.
Yeah.
What's going on there, dude?
Like Marv in Home Alone?
Yeah, that's exactly what I got.
He's got the imprint of an iron on his face.
When stupid stuff like this happens, man, you just can't help but laugh at it. Like, I literally, once I realized that, you know, I wasn't fully concussed, and I mean, I might be concussed, who knows?
How would we know? How would we know if you are concussed?
You wouldn't.
I don't think so either, man.
I mean, if I'm being dead serious, I'm a little stunned still.
That's why I'm asking, but like, what I'm asking is like, what is the difference between a concussed and a non-concussed Danny Meringue?
For me, just
what are some signs?
More pain, more than anything else.
What if you've all of a sudden like become a completely different person?
It'd be kind of funny, just a factory reset.
Yeah,
I've had more concussions than I can count in my life.
I don't know if I ever have.
Oh, I've had so many.
I think I had one in middle school football.
Oh yeah, football.
Some kid
basketball.
At Fort Vancouver High School been McLaughlin Middle School. Mm-hmm. Somebody at Mack Middle School, I think. He was a receiver and I was a DB. And I think he just steamrolled me in flag football. And everything went black and I woke up. Oh, the time I got hit in the face with a hammer. Yes, I was probably concussed there because I did black out for a second.
Yeah, no. I had a bunch playing football. I know I had one for sure playing lacrosse because I full on blacked out, saw stars, knocked out cold. Military, I had a bunch. Those brain buckets they'll save your life, but they're not saving you concussions, that's for sure. The old brain pan has been stirred up. Those eggs have been tossed more than a few times. Just
sunny side up, over easy.
Yeah, I mean, we're scrambled at
poached.
This point. Yeah, we're scrambled at this point, buddy.
Salt and pepper on
Yeah, I like some over easy. I do love a good poached egg, though.
I don't,
really?
Honestly.
But
no.
You don't really like Eggs Benedict either, do you?
No, I don't like hollandaise.
See? So if you don't
really
like,
don't like hollandaise.
So if you don't like hollandaise and you don't like poached eggs, you're not going to like Eggs Benny.
No.
Well, no. You can't get hollandaise. Like, you can't get Eggs Benedict at a bar because that hollandaise is, like, God knows how old it is. But if you go to a nice restaurant where it's made daily, it's fine. It's fine. I legitimately, like, my bell is rung.
Ding dong,
yeah.
Ding
no,
dong.
My face feels like not so much here, but right here. It's very sore. It's very sore.
Are you going to talk about this on TV tonight?
Oh, 100%. It'll come up. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to put makeup on it, but it's going to be hard to hide.
This is how you will know tonight on your television show if you are concussed. Mm. All of a sudden, Danny says, Shaden Sharpe is going to be the greatest Blazer of all time. And Dante Moore for Heisman.
There you go. 100%. He's gone. Get him in the ambulance now. Throw him in the meat wagon. Back him up.
Sounds like we're having a little bit of YouTube issues, so we're working on that right now. So bear with us on that one. Boy, just a little banner start to the day, too. Got the insurance people in the house. I really need to go to that conference over
there. Right.
I really need to go to that because I got to, like, I think I'm putting some of my kids on this and bringing my wife over to it. I think we're going to consolidate and all come into one. And I, like, desperately need to be over there right now.
Right. Yeah. No, it's the timing.
But no, I am here.
With me all concussed.
I like to think that I'm with you listeners out there.
There you go.
That you are the people that I do this for, and I'm here for that.
It's hard out here. Also, Dirt is a sicko. He had it on the ACC network watching replays.
Well, maybe he's trying to understand why that conference is really garbage.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching award ceremonies in Vegas for Major League Baseball.
Well, I know you're a sicko.
Shout out Stephen Vogt.
There you go.
Two times.
Has it amounted to anything?
Two division titles 2 years in a row.
Hey.
When was the last time your team won a division title?
5 years ago.
There you go.
Yeah. When was the last time yours won a World Series?
1948. Jackie Robinson was in his second year in Major League Baseball.
Hasn't been that long for me.
No. We went in 16, though. That's sooner than you. That's more recent than you. But the last time you went, you won.
Yeah. Super helpful. I'm definitely a little stunned.
Should I go get Joe Fisher?
Yeah. It,
should I go see if Joe's available for the next 3 hours?
We might need to go to the pen.
Wow.
Yeah, that I really want to see the video because I want to see how hard I hit that thing.
Well, we'll have to talk to Dan, the IT guy.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to do that.
Well, I know how hard you hit it because I heard it. I mean, it'd be like if you're walking down the street and you're in your office building and somebody just like knocks on the window real hard to get your attention.
And harder than that.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Like, not going to break the glass, but a ripple effect. Like, it echoed.
Yeah, the glass did the wobble afterwards because I hit it so hard. Yeah, I don't know, man. Just a banner way to start.
I don't know, man. Quote Daniel Meringue Jr. Oakley Dokley. We got a show today.
Pivot out of that.
I really hope so. I really hope we have a show today. Tyson Alger's on today at 10:30.
Yep.
As he always is, we'll put a bow on the Iowa game and look forward to Minnesota on Friday. Do you think he can give me an explanation as to why everybody in the Big Ten plays a Friday game but not Ohio State and Michigan?
I mean, because they're little pampered babies.
We'll finally get to some Jed Fish talk at UW and the college football playoffs out. I'm just starting to dream about matchups and how fun that could be. Let me just say, I told you so. Mm. Get to a good chunk of the NFL today. I'd like to chat a little bit about what it really means to be an MVP and this team going forward after the news yesterday and some stats on their quarterback that has me very alarmed for the next 4 or 5 years of this franchise. So a lot to get to today. Plus, we'll preview Blazers Pelicans tonight, see if they can get back on track as their road trip starts heading back to the West Coast. But we'll start with Oregon Ducks. Mm. We'll start with the College Football Playoff Committee. Are we watching the Oregon Ducks? And by we, I mean they.
Mm.
Is there any way this team changes their destiny the way the committee sees it? We'll start there. 105.1, The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Yeah. 1018 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live, my friends, from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. 503-864-6326 is the fan text line. She lets you interact with us throughout the entire day. We are working on the YouTube situation as we speak. For the moment, you can catch us on the old AM dial at 1080, the old FM dial at 105.1, or on the Odyssey app. Of course, the day that Danny wants everyone to look at him, they can't see him.
It's perfect. You can't see it.
A lot to get to this hour. We'll have Tyson Alger join us at 10:30 for a double seggy, as he always does on Wednesdays during duck season. We'll chat a little Iowa recap and also look ahead to the Minnesota game on Friday that you can catch right here on the Fan Network, home of the Ducks. It'll be there'll be no insider on Friday. It'll just be us, and then go into happy hour with Luke Anderson. He'll go 1 to 2, and then we'll have the pregame show live from Autzen. Andy Dirt Johnson, Anthony Newman, Dusty Hurrah will be on site. Turn it over to Jerry and Jorgie, and then it's the game, baby. Primetime will take the day off.
It must be nice.
Must be nice.
Little Friday afternoon delight.
Do you think the Ducks could ever play an overseas game on a Friday?
I mean,
because then we would get bumped.
There's a Big 12 team. Isn't Arizona State playing in the Union Jack game next year?
Yeah, but it'll be on a Saturday.
That's true.
I need it to be on a Friday.
Or a Monday.
Or a Monday.
Thursday'd be weird.
Thursday would be weird. Dude, that I can't have a day off and then like
come back.
Yeah, go to work, day off, go to work. I don't like that.
It's part of the reason why I didn't take yesterday off.
I'm sure.
It just throws a wrench into things.
Yeah, like my kids didn't go to school yesterday because they were like, on Monday, because they were like, why? Why do we need to do this? College football playoff was announced yesterday, at least the current rankings as they sit. Most of it is unchanged. Some new additions to the crowd would be the University of South Florida, Danny Morang's South Florida Bulls.
Do love me some Byron Brown.
Coming in as the G5, G6 team. Miami has entered the chat at number 11 and Texas at number 10. The rest of it mostly unchanged. The Ducks jump up a spot, but that's due to BYU losing. And when I was on this program yesterday, did I not tell you that I predict that Oregon will win out and they will face Notre Dame in the playoff in Autzen? And boy, I don't like to give the committee a lot of credit, but I think they nailed it on this one. But what I'm most curious about, if we take away my braggadocious response to this, is I don't see how this game changes. Assuming Notre Dame and Oregon went out, which I do assume, I know you, Danny, have a different thought on that, which we will get to next week. We'll spend many a time on it.
I have a way that I would like it to go.
I don't see how Oregon in any situation here really changes their destiny, and especially Notre Dame. I don't see that either. So I know, take this with a grain of salt. There's a lot more football still to play. But if things head out the way I think they will, and we'll talk more college football playoff after we talk to Tyson Alger, I don't see how the Ducks change this, and it leads me to wonder, are we watching Oregon?
I mean, kind of.
Is the committee watching them?
Not this week.
Because this tells me if Oregon loses another game, they're out. That's what this tells me.
Probably. I can see a world where
If USC beats Oregon, no way both those teams get in.
I just think it's going to be hard for that to not happen if they're both 10-2. I just do.
That it won't happen?
No, that it I think that it will. If USC beats Oregon and everybody else wins out the rest of their games with, you know, as far as Oregon and USC, and they both end up 10-2, and you have Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon, USC, I think all four would make it. Here's the interesting thing, though. Texas, Georgia has a way to has an ability to sort itself out here. If Georgia takes care of Texas, Texas is gone.
See it.
There's a very, not very, but there's a pretty good likelihood that Miami is going to lose another game.
Yes.
They're probably gone. Indiana, if they lose another game, it'll be in the Big Ten title game.
Correct.
They're fine. Okay, let's put it this way. Is there a world that exists where Indiana falls out of the top four with a Big Ten title loss?
I don't think so, because they've told us that the Big Ten the conference championship games should not affect their perception. Now, if Indiana were to lose by 40 to Ohio State,
get smashed.
Then that would be a different situation. But I don't expect that to happen. In fact, I'll take Indiana to win that game. But in your theory, no, I think they could lose by two scores to Ohio State and be the number four team.
Mm-hmm. They go from 2 to 4. They, mm-hmm. they still be in the top four.
Yeah, I mean, and the real question that gets funky, you know, if A&M goes to the SEC title game and loses to Alabama, do they fall out of the top four? Does Georgia jump them and they're the 5 seed?
I mean, they shouldn't, because it would be their only loss.
Because the SEC is going to have two of those top four. I think that is a guarantee. I think right now it is a guarantee that the Big Ten and the SEC have the four spots.
I think so, too. What's interesting is when you look at the 8-9, though, with Oregon, Notre Dame, if Ohio State does indeed stay at 1, and this is where I think it gets interesting. Let's say Indiana knocks off Ohio State in a Big Ten title game. Mm-hmm. Do they switch those?
I think they do. I bet you Ohio State stays at number 2, or they drop to number 3. I think they'd stay ahead of a one-loss SEC team.
But also, who is the winner of Oregon, Notre Dame facing right now?
The Ohio State.
You think that's an accident?
No, I don't. I think all this is a setup. Texas Tech and you and the University of Miami, who do you think wins that game?
Tech.
To go play A&M?
Yeah. And then Georgia, South Florida, until you get Georgia-Bama.
Of course that's what Georgia and Bama will live at 4-5. Mm-hmm. One of those two will live at 4-5
yeah.
to make sure that matchup happens.
So you're just kind of looking at that.
Now, Ole Miss, Indiana. Now, that is tasty. Tasty.
I mean, that's
this is all going to change, but yeah. I like to fantasize about it.
But Tech, A&M, you get a Texas battle. Ohio State, Oregon would give you the rematch. Ohio State, Notre Dame is two Midwest powerhouses.
Oh, dude.
Bama, Georgia. It's Bama, Georgia. And then Indiana, Ole Miss is pop bottles.
Yeah.
Get weird.
I have no idea who would win that game.
I don't either. You've got two coaches that are both insane, but on two different ends of the spectrum of insane.
I think this is the way I'm trying to look at it, because for all the conversation we can have about the committee and their talents, their strengths, how idiot they are, how they watch people, what they watch, if they watch, etc. I get a little nauseated trying to think about how they approach this. So I try to just look at it in fantasy land.
Mm.
That's how I try to look at it. And let's say everything goes chalk. You don't like a semifinal of Indiana and Texas A&M? You don't like a semifinal of Ohio State, Alabama?
Well, the interesting thing to me is if Indiana does, and they say, you know what, we're going to put Indiana at 1 and Ohio State at 3 and bump A&M up to 2, something along
those
lines.
Let's say A&M beats Alabama and stays undefeated.
Yeah. So your 1-2 is Indiana A&M, right? Do they move the bracket?
Do
Notre Dame and Oregon go, you know what, they're not 9-8, they're actually 10-7.
They're actually 10-7, and they just make it happen. Dude, they want Notre Dame, Ohio State so bad.
Right.
And there's no way you could justify getting Notre Dame to that 5th spot. So they're never going to get the Alabama Notre Dame, which
but
is what they would want. 10-7's
doable.
10-7's very doable.
12-5's not doable. 11-6 is pushing it.
Oregon beats USC, beats the doors off USC, mm-hmm. and blows out UW. Okay. Doesn't play in the Big Ten title game. And the committee goes, hey, you know what? Oregon is the 7th best team.
Mm-hmm.
Ole Miss kind of struggled down the stretch. We'll drop them down 1. And, you know, Notre Dame is. They were looking good, but, you know, the shine has kind of come off. They're winning still, but they're not as sexy.
They do have 2 losses.
I think that we should probably, to be fair, drop them to the 10th. Dude, I think it's a crash course, man.
Right.
Like, buckle up, Duck fans. You're getting Notre Dame. You're getting Notre Dame at Autzen.
Well.
If things continue to progress the way that I feel they will continue to progress. I really do feel they will continue to progress that way, and we will spend plenty on it next week. But the Ducks got to get through Minnesota first.
Mm.
An emotional win in Iowa City in the rain and the weather, some injuries, all that kind of stuff. We'll chat with Tyson Alger next. We'll put a bow on the Iowa game and look ahead to Minnesota and how the challenges of a Friday game, what our injury status is, and I know he probably won't have any answers because Dan Lanning doesn't give us those kind of answers.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
All right, we're back live on the YouTube, so thanks for your patience on that. Shout out to all the people involved helping make that happen. So we're back there. But without further ado, it's 10:30 on a Wednesday. That means we are joined by our good buddy Tyson Alger of the I-5 Corridor. Lookout Eugene Springfield. Tyson, good morning. How was your weekend?
I had a pretty great time in Iowa, guys. I mean, it was the first time coming from the West Coast that I've ever experienced cold weather or rain or actually that's what it kind of seemed like all the Iowa fans were saying when it dropped around 40 degrees and the rain started pouring and they're like, oh, this is Iowa weather. I was like, guys, this is kind of what we do out in Portland too. Like when did we become so temperate, boys?
Well, I had a conversation with Dusty Hare about that, and I was kind of like, what was the experience like from a weather standpoint? Now he's down on the sideline. I don't know if you're cushy in a box or something, but he's down on the sideline. He said Wisconsin was way worse than Iowa City.
Yeah, we were pretty cushy for this one. I'm not going to lie. Like, it's one of the first times I've come into a press box and seen, like, the closed windows for the box and been like, oh, thank you. And then they had the meal was served, like, throughout the entire game. It was lovely. I almost put my feet up, but then you got to remember that you do run into, you know, the people like Dusty who had the weather, the storm, and you have to pretend like we went through it too. You know, poor guy, but it was no wetter than the Wisconsin game. It might have been a little bit colder, but it wasn't that bad.
So let's dive into this game, and we'll start with kind of the hoopla before kick even happened. All of a sudden, you know, I am not a Twitter guy, but even I was aware of the Kenyon Sadiq right tackle and DeCorian Moore injuries before the game. What was it like for the team, any kind of fans you might have run in, your perspective? did it feel like they kind of knew this was going to happen and they were prepared, or was this kind of a shock to them as well that they weren't ready to go?
Yeah, it was a weird day on Friday, I'm not going to lie, because that was my travel day. And I also booked my stuff late, so I had a long travel day. And it wasn't until I was rolling back to my hotel and finally got my phone fired back up that I had about 8 missed net messages and saw all the tweets of it seemed like half the roster was going to be out. And, you know, you get to the game on Saturday, and the Ducks kind of ran a little bit of a pump fake by they still had Sadiq and Harkey and Devin Jackson in uniform. They did announce before the game that DeCorian Moore was out. I think that was the one that obviously drew kind of the biggest amount of interest, and that's the one that kind of quasi turned out to be true, because it seemed like some of the initial rumors on Friday were, oh, he's going to be lost for the season. On Saturday, Lanning said he thinks he's going to be okay. I don't know what that means, timetable for this week or going into USC or Washington. But, yeah, it was just it did kind of seem like it was setting up in Iowa's favor in that regard, just because you're down to going into the game 5 scholarship wide receivers, and then Gary Bryant Jr. gets injured in the second quarter, and then you're down to 4, and you're kind of looking around the field, and it's like, okay, you know, usually in this scenario you would expect a Kenyon Sadiq to make a big play. Well, Kenyon's out too. And so considering all that, like I was really impressed with kind of just the composure and the way that the Ducks were able to kind of address this game. You know, we've talked about how Dante in games where things aren't ideal has kind of struggled at times. And obviously he wasn't perfect in this game, but it was certainly enough in that final drive to put together one of the best throws I think I've ever seen the Oregon quarterback make on that Malik Benson completion.
Dyson, I don't know if you caught the beginning of the show. I walked into a glass door at full speed and damn near concussed myself before we started the show. And that's what this game felt like. There was a lot of just running into things the entire game. But going into this, we kind of wanted to see what the identity of Oregon was. If Iowa could pull them into deep water, how would Oregon respond? And do you feel like that the identity of this Oregon team is run ball, defense, traditional Big Ten style, like they have made the full pivot into that and that should be their identity? Or do you think that there's something different about this team still?
You know, what I like about this team is it can kind of morph into what it needs to be. I mean, this was a game where it wasn't ideal to be passing the football, and they had that against Wisconsin, and it looks like they might have that coming up on Friday too against Minnesota. And this is developed into one of the better rushing attacks in the country. I mean, that was the whole thing that Iowa prided itself on, right? Is we win the trenches, we're going to pound the football, we're going to make you not enjoy playing us for 4 quarters. And that's kind of what the Ducks did to them. The 261 yards, I believe, are the most they've allowed since 2022. It's the most yards per carry they've allowed since 2014. The Ducks were dominant in that phase of the game. And I think it was at the start of it, they were kind of trying things out to see like what they could get away with. I think they passed twice on that first drive, and you saw Noah Whittington drop a pass. And I think right around then the Ducks go like, okay, well, let's see what we can do on the ground. And the ground was incredibly effective. And so I think more so than the passing game, that's what the Ducks can really hang their hats on. I mean, this has been 2, 3, 4 weeks in a row where the running game has been really dominant, but again, I go back to that fourth quarter drive. They still have a pretty darn good quarterback. And yeah, I know they're pretty depleted in receivers right now, but I do like that this offense still can go and rely on the passing game to make a play or two in a game where it's pretty apparent that the running game has been what's more effective.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor, Lookout Eugene Springfield. I want to switch over to the defense, and I got to be careful how I ask this question, because I've been very impressed with Oregon's defense. I think it's been, especially that D-line, has been kind of the most stable part of this team throughout this season. So I got to make sure this doesn't come across as a negative, but against Penn State, against Indiana, and against Iowa, they're giving up more points in the fourth quarter than they had the first 3 quarters.
Yeah.
Do you line that up to attrition? Do you line that up to kind of the offense also kind of struggling in those 3 games? Because I'm concerned in some of these bigger games coming up, say the college football playoff is in their future, that could be a source of weakness in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, it's definitely such a kind of a Jekyll and Hyde thing, because in the first three quarters of the game, Oregon's defense has been really good.
Dominant.
And statistically, they still hold up in terms of, you know, national rankings and total defensive yardage and all that. But yeah, it has kind of seemed like in the fourth quarter, especially in drives where you're like, okay, like we need to make a stop here. It seems like teams have a tendency of going like 98 yards down the field and scoring. I mean, I think that this was kind of a combination of a few things. I mean, like this was such a tough game, and like the defensive guys were hurting by the end of it. I asked Bryce Betcher after the game, like, well, what does it feel like trying to tackle Mark Gronowski for four straight quarters? And he's like, I'm not going to lie, guys, like I'm hurting right now. Like it's a bear trying to wrestle that 235 pound quarterback down to the turf. But it's just, you know, they're pretty good at getting guys to other teams to third down, but then it just seems like some of the big play conversion rates for the other team's offenses in key scenarios is pretty concerning. And so, you know, I would like to be able to judge that in a game where Oregon's offense is humming in the second half and they're not just constantly giving the ball away and putting the defense in those pressure scenarios. But that is kind of like the one big kind of concern for this team is we've seen the offense now make plays in drives where they've absolutely needed to, but we kind of need to see the defense do that as well, especially as you're going to be facing some of these pretty higher potent offenses in USC and Washington here in the coming weeks.
Tyson, it's a stupid question, but it's one that we've kind of gone back and forth. Is this the best win of the season for the Ducks?
Probably. I mean, like in retrospect, probably. Like I'm still having to like battle between what my eyes saw at Penn State and what's happened since then, because I still think that was a really good Penn State football team. And I thought that was a great game of football. And I loved the way that Oregon clutched up in there. And so like, I still want to say that was the best win of the season, but it's kind of hard to do that when the coach who game planned against you is golfing currently. So I think that was probably the best one. I mean, just considering it seemed like a lot of the country was trending towards Iowa in that game, and it was kind of a prove it game for the Ducks. You know, this isn't one that come playoff time is going to be, you know, held on an altar and said like, oh, look at this massive quality win the Ducks had against Iowa. But it was one of those ones where I think people thought they might not have won and they proved them wrong. And so I think that was a really quality victory for them.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor lookout, Eugene, Springfield. We'll put a pause on this, take a quick break and bring you back. We'll start looking ahead at Minnesota, what a Friday night game means under the lights. And maybe we'll dance a little college football playoff predictions as well. We'll do that next. Stick with us. Tyson Alger joins us, 105.1 The Fan. Continue our conversation here with Tyson Alger, the I-5 corridor lookout, Eugene Springfield, joins us every single Wednesday to chat Ducks during the Duck season. We're happy to have him, and we'll continue on this. Look, Friday night game against Minnesota. You can catch all that action right here on the home of the Ducks, 105.1 The Fan Sports Network. I don't know. Where do we start on this? A Friday night game. Are they really that weird, or is this one of those stupid questions we ask interviewers to pretend like it's an edge that somebody's got?
I think it's probably more weird for fans than anybody else, or even us media members. Like, what time do I hit the road Friday, guys? Like traffic's already bad enough on Fridays around here. Like, is this a like a 10 a.m. departure?
Andy Dirt Johnson's leaving at 10 a.m.
You know what? As I've always followed the advice of, you know, what would Dirt do? So,
and that's gotten you real far in life. Real far in life.
It's gotten me right on this radio show. I think, you know, probably the only big issue for the Ducks here is just recovery from injury. You know, we don't quite know where Gary Bryant Jr. is at. I wouldn't be surprised if they continue to hold DeCorian out for this game. Yeah, short week. Minnesota's coming off a bye, so they've obviously had some time to prepare for this one. But, you know, I think it's a lot better than some of those Thursday ones that we had, what was that, probably about a decade or so ago. Like, I think Friday's manageable at the very least.
I don't want to dive too deep into this game, but what problems in Minnesota are they going to present? Because defensively, they're pretty stout. They're a top 30 unit by basically every metric. Offensively, they're not. So is this, they can't drag you really into the water like Iowa can, but if you're Oregon, you have to at least look at that Iowa game and go, if we do get into this, we're going to be fine, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Minnesota's not bad. They're 6-3, but guess where all three of those losses have come? They've come away from Minnesota. Mm-hmm. So, and by the way, I didn't mean to slip into like a Minnesota there. Like I'm getting festive for the game. Okay.
Don't you know?
You know, they're a pretty one-dimensional offense. They pass the ball pretty well. They're not a great rushing team. And so I think that this is a game that actually matches up pretty well for the Ducks. Oregon's a very good pass defense. It's not setting up for weather for being a great passing game either. And the Gophers just aren't that good at rushing the ball. I think that this is one of those games where if Oregon decides that, hey, we want to just kind of do the bully ball and establish ourselves on the ground. Yeah, Minnesota's not that bad against the run defensively, but they're not Iowa. I think that this is just a game where Oregon is better kind of in both facets of how you want to win it. And I just don't think Minnesota has enough firepower to keep up with the Ducks in this one.
Yeah, I'm curious how behind the scenes Lanning might approach this. Because I think one thing that's been very fortunate for the Ducks is throughout the season is they've run into a lot of different teams that they've kind of had to show different identities, as we love to talk about on this show. If they've got a team that can't really run the ball well, but is kind of a throwing, how much defense are you looking at as a setup for the USC game? Because USC is going to throw the football. And if you're playing a team that's one-dimensional but can throw the ball a little bit, how much are you just, let's play this game, get out of here, or can we test some things that we might want to run against the pass-happy team in 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, like, there might be some trial and error there, too. And I think, again, a lot of it will depend on what sort of weather we actually get on Friday. But, I think this will be a nice kind of, like, gradual increase into facing USC next week. Because if you look back at kind of the games Oregon's defense has had to play the last couple weeks, they played against Iowa, who doesn't pass the football well. They played against Wisconsin, who doesn't pass the football well. I think this will be kind of a nice warm-up lap before facing two very good offensive teams the next couple weeks, because the Ducks just haven't seen those the last 2 weeks of the season.
Not to put the cart before the horse, Harris and I were talking about this leading into the conversation with you about college football playoff and where Oregon is at right now, the 8-9 matchup with Notre Dame. I'm of the belief that even if Oregon loses to USC and USC and Oregon end up finishing both 10-2, Indiana, Ohio State, one of those is going to have a one loss. Those four teams would make it in. Do you look at Oregon that they have to win out to make the college football playoff, or can they take one more loss and be in there?
I don't know. and I know that's not the answer that you guys want from us, but you know, the committee's kind of shown that it doesn't respect Oregon in the same way that it respects the other one-loss teams right now. And then there are just a bunch of other two-loss teams out there. But again, those two-loss teams are going to start accumulating losses as well here as we go through the final 2-3 weeks of the season. And you know, if it comes down to kind of like a bubble scenario, we'll have to see. You know, we haven't had the committee really have to like make a decision on a big brand name Big Ten team like that yet, and so I think that the Ducks are attractive enough if you want to go from if they're considering eyeballs and notoriety of the teams they want in there. But, you know, I think it would be a lot easier if they just won these next two games and they didn't have to worry about it, because, you know, USC and Washington, yeah, they're Big Ten teams and they were decent Pac-12 teams during their day. But, like, they haven't been kind of relevant in this in the last year or two, and so I don't know how much extra credit the Ducks are going to be getting with these wins either. So I think it hurts way more when they lose.
He's Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. We'll finish up with this. I'm not the biggest. I don't love trying to discuss why the committee makes the decisions they make, because I think half these games they're not even watching. And I'm with you. I don't think they gave Oregon enough respect. But I live in a world in my brain, so I try to just have kind of fun with some of these matchups. Since the playoff situation is going to change week after week after week, just indulge me a little bit. I do believe Oregon wins out, and I do believe the committee will continue to view them the same way they do now, despite a win against Iowa, which would be a win against a USC team that's ranked and a UW team that's a fringe-ranked team. I think this collision course with Notre Dame is an absolute fact, and that is going to happen. Can we live in a fun world right now? How wild would the Golden Domers coming to Autzen be for a playoff game?
like the Ducks would have to go mirrored helmets too, right? Like just
You'd have to.
Like the flashiest. That would be so fun, wouldn't it? Like I know if you're a coach, you probably want a top seed and to get that bye, even though what happened last year with the byes, but just the idea of before Christmas hosting a home playoff game and having that type of brand of a team coming into Autzen and what would be probably an excellent game of football. Like I wouldn't be upset about that, guys. Like I wouldn't mind writing about that one if I had to. So.
Oh, shucks. Yeah. Oh, dang it. I know I texted Dirt last night about that, and he said things that I can't say on the radio in his excitement about that potential matchup. Go ahead and pump your brand, amigo. What you writing this week?
Let's see here. We're writing just a lot of football this week, guys. Kind of the short week has us scrambling a bit. So we have our game preview coming out tomorrow. We'll be at Autzen on Friday. And then next week I have a little story where I talked to Oregon backup quarterback Brock Thomas about a superstar little league team that he was on back in the day that had like six kids end up going D1. So, yeah, just a little remember when. So.
Great. Well, he's Tyson Alger, the I-5 Corridor. Look out, Eugene Springfield. Go check out his work on any platform that you can find him on. We appreciate you, as always, my friend. Enjoy the game on Friday and have a nice long weekend.
Hey, thanks a lot, boys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tyson.
Yep, that is Tyson Alger. He joins us every single Wednesday at 10:30 for a couple seggies as we put a bow on Oregon's win against Iowa, walking into Minnesota this Friday. Once again, you can catch that right here on The Fan. Pre-game will start at 2 with Andy Dirt Johnson, Anthony Newman, and Dusty Hare live from Autzen Stadium. So you can catch that right here, as you always can. When we come back, we'll put a little bow on the college football playoff and Oregon's situation right now, and then we'll get into some more college football and then a lot of NFL to get through the rest of the show. Stick with us. We're having a good time. 105.1 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.